And of course, one of those chaps used to work for the CIA, or his father actually worked for the CIA, and then he went on to actually write the theme to The Equalizer. That was Gordon Sumner, not, of course, the lead singer of The Police. He was the drummer at the time. Was it Stuart Copeland? Might have been Stuart Copeland. I think that was Stuart Copeland. And of course, Gordon Sumner, the alter ego of Sting. When we actually connect guests telephonically, I usually actually have a moment to actually check that they're connected to the desk, that everything else is all right. In this time, I think it's fair to say that in the words of Tom Cruise's Mission Impossible, the fuse has been lit. The lines were used, okay, hit me with the music, I'm ready to go. Phil Lynas, do I detect a slight sort of New York, California sort of challenge coming up here? How are you, sir?
I am certainly person enough to pick up any gauntlet that is thrown, my friend.
There you go. You say, well, you see Peter Franklin, who, to be fair, actually has been working with us on the shows for 7, 8 years, etc. But I've noticed in the past that, with a couple of exceptions of Shirley Jones, bless her heart, etc., Academy Award winner, mention of California to a New Yorker. I don't know. I mean, can you not bond over Hostess Twinkies and white bread or something? How are you, Peter? Share with us how the show's been going. You see, I even called him Peter there. Did you notice that? You know, it's unbelievable. How are you, Phil? Would you like to share with us? Have you managed to, unlike Sarah Chase, who couldn't manage to download the routine, have you managed to catch us live on sirenonline.co.uk?
Indeed, I've been listening. I unfortunately missed the first half hour and a guest I was quite looking forward to hearing, so I will enjoy catching up on the podcast. But thank goodness that I did miss that, or else all my notes that I would have taken during that opening half hour would go to waste as I address certain pressing issues, like explaining to your earlier guest what bankruptcy actually means.
Yeah.
And then maybe I'll get to a dozen other words that I can introduce.
Natalie Tuck, Tuck's on the topic. She's a wonderful person, she's become a real star as far as Midweek Driver is concerned over the last few months. And Natalie, I've never seen you quite as angry as with Peter. I mean, I was, you talk about chewing up the studio here. Yeah. Anyway.
I love the word administration. It is a euphemism. Generally, I am not a big fan of using euphemistic expressions to talk around issues. It's one of my big disappointments with our current president, for example, who does that a great deal. But administration is actually a far more specific and meaningful description of what takes place when these companies declare bankruptcy, because it does not mean they are going out of business. What they do by declaring bankruptcy, in most cases, depending on which chapter of reorganization under which they are filing, they are simply trying to reorganize their corporate structure, readminister their resources and their debts so that they may continue in business and be able to hold their personal creditors at bay while they stay in business. In fact, most famous American companies that do undergo bankruptcy stay in business. American Airlines is reorganizing under bankruptcy right now. So rest assured, Hostess will be around as an ongoing concern as long as there are New York cab drivers willing to poison their bodies and their souls with toxic food-like substances. They will not be going anywhere. God bless America.
Exactly. I mean, Jericho Keys also, I think you've had your occasional run-ins with Peter Franklin, but we like a little bit of attention. I mean, before we come to you, Jericho, I've got to ask the question, bottom line, Phil, is the Hostess Twinkie scenario likely to make a Chill Pack Hollywood lawsuit of the week?
Because I feel like it, as with most topics that Gabby the Cabbie might discuss, it's an afterthought. And although I would like, I am with you, Alex, dialing back to something you said early in the show, I am not a fan of the phrase shout out at all. Though, interestingly enough, from a historic perspective, I'm fairly sure that that phrase was probably first coined within a New York taxi cab.
There you are. You see. And that's information for yourself, Katie, and the rest of the Grimmison family. It's marvelous.
So that exchange of travel both ways across the Atlantic.
Exactly. Now, you also join us at a very auspicious moment in time, Phil, because not only is it Jerry Cokey's first official show here at Southside Broadcasting sister station Siren FM, but it's also time for Katie Grimerson to have her reward for actually being such a fine guy. In fact, it was only last week Natalie said, so is Katie coming back? You know, like Katie. Strangely, you didn't mention anything about Tiffany. So, you know, it's all right. We'll work through that. I
mean, Thank you, Alex.
Well, it's Katie back. Anyway, Katie's reward for being back and yourself in many ways. 36 seconds of sheer brilliance. Are you ready for this, Katie? You asked for it before Christmas. I know you're sort of excited to anticipate the notion of, if I said Lorne Green, Dan Blocker, Michael Landon, and, of course, Pernell Roberts. What are we referring to?
Bonanza.
To which I asked the question, what would we actually be in televisual history land if the Cartwrights had never gone west to Virginia City and had just stayed in New York? You wouldn't have had the series, you know?
Nice.
Yeah, there we are.
Very nice point, Alex, yeah. Because indeed, you know, there are probably too many people in California. That's exacerbating the economic problems, and most of them are people who get tired of the horrible weather in New York and move here. So it's a very good point.
Exactly. Last week, of course, to be precise, Friday, Natalie Tuck was entrusted with two tasks to actually work through. The first of which, of course, was to ensure that you read SFX magazine. Yeah, I think you did very well on that. Talk about geeks, female, otherwise, and all the rest of it. And the second task, Natalie, was, of course, yes, that's right, to listen to an entire episode of ChillPackHollywood.com, which I provided on this very show. Burnt onto a CD, so you didn't even have to download it. You could just put it into your CD player and magically would sort of work through. I can tell from your expression, if we had a webcam, and Phil will be able to pick this up as well, I suspect you might not have done that. Don't worry, there's an even better one this week that's come out, because it's Phil and Dean on the road, recorded literally in a car, much as we did when we connected with Dean Hagland, but they both speak collectively together about a whole heap of goodinesses and routines. So hopefully, Phil, you'll bear with Natalie whilst I sort of dug her out of that little hole after putting her in it in the first place. Do you notice that?
Indeed, this week we put the drive into midweek drive.
Yeah,
I don't know. That's the best I could.
I have two DVTs now, and it's up to your good self to actually determine, Phil, because I'm going to utilise your good self as the nominator from this. It's a bit like Screen Actors Guild determining which of their friends should actually be put up for awards or challenges to actually work through this. Next week, Annette Andre will be back with another one of her letters from upstate New York. Not quite as controversial as Peter Franklin, unless, of course, you're into American politics, in which case she can push a few buttons, certainly. Her views on Mitt versus Newt, you know, legendary in their own way. But that's, you know, Newt and Mitt. She will be back with us. And I have two episodes of Annette Andre shows The Saint, with, of course, Roger Moore. Black and white series on the one hand called The Saint Steps In. Okay, that's in one hand. And on the other hand, we have in colour To Kill a Saint, in which Annette Andre, as an Australian accent, portrays a French actress. Simon, the saint, I like you, and so on. Which one of the team do you feel, Phil, should actually be entrusted with the task of watching The Black and White Saint Steps in which a scientist's revolutionary formula starts a chain reaction involving his beautiful daughter, played by Annette Andre, there she is on the front cover there with Roger Moore, some dangerous criminals and the saint. Will it be? And I have to exclude Jericho from this, because Jericho, for these purposes, he's not on the Midweek Drive team. I mean, he is, obviously, but he's not a regular, OK? So, got to stick with the regular. So, no offence, Jericho, sort it out that way. Yeah, no pressure. So, Phil, who should actually receive the Saint Stone? Should it be our Leicester gal extraordinaire, Tiffany Freeman? Should it be Katie, who reminded me that she was still around by saying, can I have a copy of the running order for the show this week? To which I replied, I didn't even know you were on this week, but here we are. Come along in any case. Or should it be Natalie, who's just basically sort of still anticipating with, you know, growing, mounting excitement, listening to her first ever hour-long Chilpack Hollywood?
Well, I would have actually given the colour episode. Now, do I get to break them up?
The colour episode can go to one person. That, of course, there is a bonus episode on here. Because clearly the task is to actually say, oh, that's Annette André. So when she's on next week, of course, Tiffany can actually put some information and sort of, you know, routines. You can say, oh, I've seen you on
Wonderful.
So-and-so.
Well, yeah. I was inclined to give Natalie the colour episode, but indeed she's got an assignment on her plate. So I'm eliminating Natalie, unfortunately, from the discussion. So Tiffany is going to get the color episode, which seems to be truly have an international flair when you have an Australian actress playing a French character. I there's just something about the international flair of it that I think Tiffany will enjoy. And I'm bypassing actually Katie altogether, and I think it's Sharon and Richard that should get the black and white episode in Birmingham, and I do that as a way to butter them up so that maybe they'll let me stay with them when I'm in Birmingham showing the truth is out there.
This is very true. You see, you didn't realise this, Katie, but yes, Phil Lynas is coming back to England. Back to Birmingham, and hopefully Lincoln as well, but in May, bigging this up, we'll get even more exciting as we walk through. Just a quick reminder to yourself, Tiffany, that To Kill a Saint also features the voice of Captain Scarlet, Francis Matthews, Peter Dinley, who was Jeff Tracy in Thunderbirds, Valerie Leon, as part of three girls who end up in bed with Simon Templar, and indeed we actually have Simon's latest Parisian escapade sees him being hired as a hitman with a highly unconventional target, himself. You know, but literally, To Kill a Saint. You don't have to go through the counterfeit contest, but there we are.
Okay, thank you.
So that's yours, Tiffany. That's your task. Okay. Actually, 50 minutes of sheer ITC joy, the likes of which Lou Grade kind of put the whole thing together. So, and that presumably means that the joy of the saint steps in, goes to representing the Grimason family, obviously, you know, preparation for... Do they do bed and breakfast, your parents, Katie, or is there something new? Would you just be able to break it gently to them? But by the way, Mater and Pater, we have an American top film director coming to stay with us. Is that okay? No pressure. Worked out. So,
oh my goodness! You know, Alex, I've got slightly different tastes than Sarah Chase, obviously. But I must say that you have my favorite accent of anyone in the studio that I've heard, and never more so than during that last bit. Actually.
Yep. Well, there we are. I mean, I was thinking, do we actually go with I Worship You and Little Willies? But I think perhaps not, even though it does actually have Nora Nora Sati. Nora, the famous daughter of a violinist and cellist called Nora. Nora Jones. There we are. She also plays with that. We actually started that.
Now, I think what needs to take place now, Alex, if I may, is just to briefly address this New York versus California
this is
dynamic.
True. Exactly.
May I do this? Because there's something that everyone who is an American studies student, everyone who's thinking of coming to America, probably needs to realize, which is calling New York City New York is tantamount to calling Los Angeles California. They are cities unlike anywhere else within their own states. It would be like saying, trying to describe French people when really what you're trying to describe are Parisians.
Exactly.
It is a wildly different...
Or indeed, English folk as being Lincolnites, yellow bellies. I mean, you don't refer to us in the States as, oh, you limeys and yellow bellies. You know, if I said yellow bellies, you wouldn't know about that. In Lincoln, of course, yellow bellies...
Never to your face.
No. And exactly.
But the thing about California is indeed that it is bankrupt. I find it amusing that we are going to California leading the way in renewable resources, in leading the way in technology, that we're going to somehow, as we're pointing the way to the future, lead people down into destruction. But then again, there's the 2012 apocalypse scenario, where apocalypse actually means lifting the veil. As California lifts the veil and shines the way into the future, yes, that's going to mean death for the way that certain people like to view the world in a very closed-minded, small way. But California's bankruptcy, it's very interesting historically because we had a surplus of money not that long ago until the energy giant Enron used California illegally as its own ATM machine, through the same kind of derivative and bad debt nonsense that was authored, sponsored, encouraged, and backed by Wall Street, which the last time I checked, Alex, was actually in New York.
And that's what you call the Phil Lianis master maneuver to actually put check and mate to Peter
but
Franklin.
I must say my last comment here for the gauntlet that was thrown, which is specifically Los Angeles versus New York City. And I wish that I could have such a powerful, potent point to make regarding that dynamic. And I would, were it not for the fact that I actually like New York City better than Los Angeles.
And so it goes. Good news is, of course, Mike Dooley, very positive thinker, of course, Florida expert extraordinaire, will be with us for the first midweek drive of February. And Natalie, you've already read the Lost in Space novel. We also had a little tip of our hat to Bob May in the early part of the programme with Dave Bradley, of course, from SFX magazine, because, yes, the actor who was the robot in Lost in Space has moved on to another dimension today. And I realise, as a key Owen Allen aficionado, Phil, you like to sort of share that. I mean, realise, Jericho, I say the robot in Lost in Space, meaningless.
Straight over the head.
Crucial part, even though they actually technically left Earth in 1997 and then were lost forevermore due to that nefarious Zachary Smith. Again, I might as well be just uttering noises, Phil. You know, just don't know what's around from that point of view. Moving dexterously onwards, as we do from that point of view, I'd like to feel that this phone link has been more inspiring and more enthusiastic than the Golden Globe ceremony was, because we'll be talking about the Golden Globes tomorrow, of course, with Natalie's good friend and key royal critic, Richard Fitzwilliams, which is great from that point of view. Next week, as we mentioned, Annette Andre is back with us. We'll also be joined, hopefully for the first time, confirmation pretty much came through today, and you might appreciate this one, Phil, because your warm-up act next week is not. It's not a Gabby cab driver. Wonderful though Peter Franklin is. Moving on from that. No, it's from the first episode of the series Sherlock, and I know you're quite a fan of that. We'll be having Lisa McAllister joining us. Yes.
That will be very exciting. Now, is this the first episode of season one?
First episode of season one. Yes, Mycroft Holmes' personal assistant, Lisa McAllister, okay, is going to be telephonically in the house.
That's going to be wonderful.
Well, you know,
I may both have to listen to that live on Silent Online.
Yeah,
download the podcast as well.
There we are. You see, I mean, and of course, not only is she a wondrous sort of soul, she born in Scotland but based in Surrey. How many Surrey Scottish girls do you actually go who started off their movie career being directed by Mel Gibson as a voiceover artist in Braveheart? It's almost as crazily wonderful as the Tiffany Freeman life story. Tiffany, would you like to ask those last two questions to Phil Lianis at this moment, please?
Yep. Have you enjoyed our telephonic conversation today?
I can't lie and say that I particularly enjoyed it this week. You know, having to hold the California end up is...
As Arnold Schwarzenegger found, very difficult indeed.
Serious, responsible. And so I wouldn't say that I enjoyed it. I would say that I found it rewarding.
That's what we like to feel. It's a bit like doing a degree at the University of Lincoln, really. You might enjoy it, but you'll find it rewarding. Yeah. And the next question, Natalie, is, or rather, Tiffany, is...
But will you be joining us again?
Of course.
Yeah.
I will be joining you again, and as Alex said, hopefully soon. I'll be joining you in studio.
Yeah, absolutely, in the house. Jericho, you came all the way down from just outside Whitby, vampire country, as people were actually saying, yep, to have your first experience of Siren FM. Have you enjoyed the midweek drive?
I've loved it. It's been very rewarding.
It's been your longest show, because I think probably most of the Saturday gigs have been an hour and a half shows, really, yeah, done with me. That's very good. Natalie, happy with show two?
Yeah, it's been... Yeah.
A little bit of tension, a little bit of grit, a little bit of...
A bit worked up.
All set and ready for tomorrow morning?
Yes.
Angela Rippon, Richard Fitzwilliams, Nicola Clancy from Leicester. Yeah.
Woo.
Graduate from Leicester, Nicola Clancy. She's going to get up. She's going to actually be on the phone before she goes off to do some work in the banking industry. And there we are. That's Nicola Clancy. Aaron Craig, of course. And the joys of Ian Lennox. And I gather Jodie Orton has actually read the book as well. So that's more.
And is Jodie fit and well?
She is very fit, actually. Very fit. I'm not sure whether she's well. I had to listen to the... No, no, she did a fantastic show last night. She maintains it was a disaster. Don't worry, Jodie, it's all right. You know, the Tuesday American Dream Team drive time will actually grow and develop in ways that, as yet, are strangely sort of unknown even to me. Katie, have you enjoyed being back on the show?
Yes, I have.
And yourself, Tiffany?
As always, yeah.
Excellent. There we are, all sorted. Natalie, of course, has also got another little bonus today. Not the Bonanza theme tune, but she's got her official Siren FM press pass. So that's very pleasing, isn't it, Phil? We're leaving you...
I want a Siren FM. How does that
work? We'll be working on it. We'll be on the case. We have a whole...
I would wear that everywhere in Los Angeles. I swear to you, I would do that. And I would have photos taken of me wearing that everywhere in Los Angeles.
You could even get a photograph taken of you by the Sherry Jackson star. She sent a nice message saying she enjoyed last week. I think Sherry Jackson will come back again, which is splendid. That's pretty much a wrap. Our sort of final line from the world of positive quotes. Well, I think basically we'll use the Mike Dooley routine. Thoughts become things, so choose the good ones. Quick roll of honour. Dave Bradley, Cameron Tilbury, Sarah Chase, Michelle Monroe, Peter Franklin, Sarah Chase. Oh, I mentioned Sarah Chase. And Phil Leonis, Sarah Chase Squared. And Jericho and Tiffany and Katie and Natalie. Thank you. Thank you, dear listener. Can we all say au revoir? After
au revoir.
Three.
So long.
Oh, yeah. We were waiting for you, California, and you came through. You didn't let us down.
One, two, three, four. From the drum.